Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone. Hi. We're back. The podcast is back. We've had a couple of weeks off and our voices have changed. This is my golf club voice now. I don't play golf. This is my golf club voice, but I'm David. And who are you?
This is my voice. I'm Andy Powell.
Andy Powell.
How's it going, buddy?
Hiya, Tom.
Hiya, Dave. You okay?
Oh, I'm all right.
Tell me what you've been up to. Come on.
What's anyone been up to?
Answering a lot of deliveries is what I would say.
Yeah.
Food deliveries, random purchases. Bought some Ugg boots yesterday.
Don't know. Oh, you got them, did you?
Yeah, just too big. They're like...
Are they?
I'm trying to find the ultimate... sort of foot warmer combo for rugby, because at the moment it's freezing cold, right? Upper body fine, head fine, hands fine, feet killer at the moment.
Okay.
And I got some boots and I bought some electric socks.
What?
Yeah.
Now, you charge them up, do you?
Because I wear fitted clothes, because I've got great shape, all right? I've got skinny jeans and you can see the batteries sort of poking out the side of my car.
Look like an ASBO tag. Look like a tag, does it?
Yeah, it does. It does. So I bought some electric socks and they were okay. It felt like my feet were wet more than warm.
Yeah.
But still cold. I didn't have the guts to tell Ross Harris because I made a big hoo-ha about, I got these on today.
Look out.
Yeah. Watch out. I'll be fine. But they were actually cold.
Gabby Logan wears electric clothes. She has electric thermal. She charges them up at home and then like on USB or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she like puts them on, I guess like leggings and a vest or like a t-shirt top, whatever is underneath, like a skins looking top. And she has electrically heated clothes to go underneath.
And a blanket, I reckon.
You've got a blanket?
No, I reckon she's got an electric blanket.
Oh, she must have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I quite like it. I'm hot all the time, but in bed I'm not. I don't get too hot in bed.
What about your feet? Your feet are games.
Feet, all right, but I got a game changer for you.
What?
Problem is.
They're super expensive, or I've got to do a shameless tweet.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that, you know, there's that picture. You sent it to me ages ago. Well, there's a picture of you and like Dwayne Peel and Alfie and everyone on tour looking like absolute nerds with straight cut jeans, and Alfie's got his new leather jacket on.
Flip flops.
Like, do you know those old boot cut jeans? And there's that picture that went around, and there's just all it is, oh great, the Six Nations is back. And it's just five or six blokes standing in a pub, and all you see is them from the knees down. And it's just boot cut jeans with Timberland boots and all that kind of
lads
stuff.
Lads on St. Mary Street.
And Brogues boots and stuff. Date. Yeah, exactly. Problem is, it's going to be a bit like that.
Oh, no.
But because they're a brogue boot. But Loke, who do really nice boots. Oh, yeah. Loke do fur-lined boots.
Really?
Yeah.
So do Ugg.
Yeah, I know, but...
These are called sports boots as well, because
Yeah, I mean, the loke's a bit more formal, a bit more elegant.
But I tried a pair on. They were too big yesterday. They were size 12. What? Massive feet.
What?
But they were. They just look like moon boots.
Well, they were too big for you.
They look like moon boots, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could buy a size 15 if I want. Oh, big feet. They're too big.
Yeah, but it was the only size available. And because I'm an 11, sometimes 11 and a half.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, extra thick socks. But they just look like. I tell you what I look like. Lloyd Christmas out of Dumb and Dumber.
Mm.
When they find all that money. And they put all that ski gear on. He's got those massive furry boots and he's handing out money.
Yep. There you go. There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
So, I've sent them back and I've ordered a smaller pair. They're brown though.
Brown?
Yeah, brown. Actually called chestnut. So
they're brown.
Yeah.
The worst thing about the pandemic, like by a mile.
Deaths.
Is now having to return deliveries that aren't right.
Actually, you're right. You're right. But so the size 11s will come this week. There's no bloody games.
No. Oh, Tommy, don't. I mean, on the subject of returns, before we get onto the games thing, I've got to return a Harry Potter cropped hoodie. So long sleeves and a hood, but a bit cropped because little Buddha didn't like it.
Oh.
So that's got to get returned. It's one of those things I'm putting all this effort in. I've bagged it up. I've got printed off labels. I've done all this stuff, all for a 13 quid hoodie from H&M or something that I got for Christmas that she didn't like. It's like, is it worth it? Is it worth the diesel? Do you know what I mean?
I got the three girls in my house a Don't Be a Karen t-shirt.
Very good.
Yeah, and they hate it.
My kids call me Karen all the time.
Yeah, but you are.
Yeah,
they absolutely hate it, but I made them wear it because I booked a holiday recently. Can't pay for it yet. Can't afford it, but booked it, paid the deposit.
Yeah, booked it, packed it.
And I said, if they want me to book this holiday, put the deposit down, they've got to wear the T-shirt all day.
Yeah.
So they did. So
they do it. Wear it.
Yeah, they did it. They did it. They called it child abuse, but I said, it's keeping you warm.
Yeah, but I told my kids to get off their screens last night
and
before dinner, and they called it. They called it child abuse. I always say, you've got to be careful. Remember the boy that cried wolf?
Yeah.
You know?
Rhys Blumberg.
What happened to him?
Nah, just cries wolf all the time.
That's him, is it?
Yep.
Everything's the worst ever, is it?
And then when he's telling the truth, he knows the truth or not.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's a shame. But in terms of what we've been up to, Tommy,
I've been looking for a coat as well, Dave.
Right.
Yeah. Now,
I'm the last person to talk. I've got a lot of coats, but when you wore your... what is it? Your Nazi pea coat?
What?
Or that blue pea coat, the Nazi one.
Hugo Boss.
You wore a Hugo Boss pea coat, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't they outfit the Nazis back in the day?
Yeah.
Can't hold that against them now. It's a long time ago, Tommy. But your Hugo Boss pea coat is all the coat you'd ever need. It's a great coat.
It's not. Okay. Even though it's cashmere.
What?
Yeah.
What mere?
Yeah.
It's money not, mere.
It's not warm enough sometimes. So, and I watched A League of Their Own Christmas special.
Yep.
Brilliant. Romesh, Jamie, and Freddie. They had some amazing coats on. There's some brilliant coats on. They look super warm.
Yeah.
Exactly what I wanted. Sandbanks, they were.
Oh, that's Jamie Redknapp's label, isn't it?
Oh, is it his label?
Well, I think so.
Well, I've seen it advertised on social media.
I saw someone say, thanks for the Sandbanks coats, Jamie Redknapp. But his dad lives on Sandbanks famously, doesn't he?
A little click on it. 1,750 quid.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. I mean, you'd hope it'd keep you warm.
Yeah. So I've gone barber.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What barber you gone? Is it incoming, this new coat?
No, I've got it. It's not.
Oh, is this it? Am I looking at it?
No, that's not. That's the Jules one. No, it's a bit like that, to be honest.
Okay.
It's a puffer. Long puffer with a hood.
Yeah. You could have done what I did, which is order a really expensive jacket.
Yeah.
Because you're going to put it on expenses, wardrobe allowance.
I'm saying it's Premier Sport.
From a channel. Yeah, do that. Because you know that your co-host has done that before with a jacket that costs even more. Buy it because you're so cold you can't believe it. And when it arrives,
health and safety.
Keep it, even though you'd never bought it yourself. And then they reject your claim because they didn't agree it before you bought it.
Oh.
So that's how I ended up with a shiny Moncler jacket.
The weird thing is, at the moment, the strangest thing is that I've bought a couple of things recently and it's just not the time to buy stuff.
No.
Not in work, regularly.
Nope.
Not taking in an income, but it just makes me feel better. Just worry about it later.
Yeah, it's retail therapy.
Put it on the Amex. Collect points.
Shall I tell you an extreme version? Did I text you about the Range Rover thing the other night?
No, what? You bought another one. Oh, yes, you did.
Right, I haven't bought another one, no. I'm literally like, I'm the same as you. Like, we're freelance and, you know, for whatever reason, the government hasn't offered us anything. And that's the way it goes. And we'll all be fine. But...
That's what I think of your selection policy.
Yeah, but I was literally on collecting cars and I found myself bidding because I thought that's going cheap on a 91 Range Rover, super cool. I started bidding on it. I'm like, yeah, I'm bidding on it. And my girlfriend said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just bidding on a Range Rover. She's like, you've got a Range Rover. I was like, yeah, I know. You also don't have a job at the moment. Yep. And you don't know if your job's ever going to come back. Yeah. I should stop bidding, shouldn't I? And it went up a bit and it did end up going really cheap.
Yeah.
But I was like, I didn't bid again. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is just, I'll feel so good if I win it. It's like, no, you won't. You'll wake up and panic.
Yeah, but couldn't you sell it on? Make a bit of money.
Yeah, but who wants to
clean it up?
Who wants that admin? No, it's in Great Nick. But who wants to do that? I was like, what am I doing? I'm bidding on a 150,000 mile Range Rover.
Had you had a glass of red?
Lebanese. I had, yeah. I had a glass of wine.
I bought a load of bottles over Christmas called Chocolate Block.
Oh, really nice.
Yeah, it's nice. My mates raved about it, but I was like, it's nice, but...
When anyone raves about wine, it's like raving about the funniest TV show you've ever seen.
Or art.
Yeah, don't rave about it. Just show people, see if they like it.
And also, just don't give bets, you know, betting advice over WhatsApp. I've had 3 or 4 over the Christmas period.
Go on.
And nothing. Nothing.
What, horse races?
Budgie, he gave me... a betting tip on a horse called Rosie and Millie. It's the names of my daughters.
Yeah.
He said, oh, it's dead cert. Let's put 100 quid on. Sixth.
75 to 50s, mate.
Sixth. Out of sixth.
75 to 50s.
Yeah. I just thought it's bound to happen. My luck's going to change.
The safest way to bet is don't bet. Isn't there a footballer who told his mates to lump on? He said it was a... It was just last week, wasn't it? And he's got into trouble because he told his mates to lump on him getting transferred. Oh, go and lump on it.
Yes.
And I'm going. And they've gone on it. Yeah, and they've been rumbled.
Who was it? Yeah, it was.
I mean, Paul Hayward, the journalist, did a couple of tweets on it and I didn't know anything about it. I was like, that is really interesting because it's, I'm sure there must be rugby players who bet on rugby. I mean, there must be. That's... They're mad if they do, but there must be. Hey?
Rob Howley.
There you go. Yeah. He did bet on rugby. But it's like, if you know that you're a team in reasonable form and you're playing against, I don't know, like Bristol or Chiefs or something, and you know you're going to put out a third team, not even a second team, whatever it is, and you think we're definitely going to lose that game. So the odds aren't great. So what I'll do is I'll just stick a load of money on. I'll stick 500 quid on to make 200 quid or whatever. I don't really know how you bet. It's free 200 quid. There must be people doing it, mustn't there?
Of course there is. They're just different email. Well, no. You're clever. You'd ask your mates to do it.
At wru.com. Freaking hell.
Oh.
Poor bloke. I know you're not allowed to pity people who've got into trouble anymore because it's 2021, but I felt so sorry for him.
What he did was wrong. Can't do it, but... The way he was victimised after that.
Oh, it's brutal. It's like
he was a criminal, like he'd a murderer.
That was just a bit like, I mean, I don't know Rob Howley very well at all. I've only met him a couple of times, played against him a bit, but it's just like, and it's not about, oh, he's a nice fella, you know, but it's like, I did, for the bloke I've met a few times, I felt really sorry for him.
It's like a red card, isn't it? It's like intent. Intent doesn't matter.
If you take someone high.
You know, as nice guys as they are, Liam Williams, red card at the weekend.
Yeah.
He just went into a ruck head first. Connected with someone's head.
Didn't he say as he went off, playing touch now, is he?
Yeah, he was frustrated. Like, he was frustrated. He's not played for a while. It was his first game back. There was a bit of niggle because it was a derby. He was involved in everything. Pushing, shoving, you know, gripping all the shirts right by the collar so you can't let go. It's annoying, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I've heard things about him. He can throw him. I've heard he's pretty handy.
Yeah, maybe.
I like him.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
But he just went into a ruck head first, and it doesn't matter about intent.
Nope.
His intent was to clear the guy out, but you still can't enter a ruck with your head. Dai Young coming back to the Cardiff Blues. Did you hear that?
Well, good news and bad news.
Food bill through the roof.
Yeah, correct. Mm. And who's going to make his blazer? Kingdom of Leather. I remember being in a
kingdom of leather.
I remember being in a nightclub with Chris Chesney, who's about once a week he texts me saying, "When are you going to let me on to defend my honour?" I said, "Sorry, mate, we're busy this week." I remember being in a nightclub, and I was sat with George Shooter, and this woman walked over and just walked past, did a double take, and started laughing at us because we were both real beaten up after this game. And I think I had a black eye and I had a stitches, and it was like I was dabbing my face because it was bleeding. And George looked hanging, and his ear had been battered. And we were just sitting there like we shouldn't have been out because we were so knackered. And this girl up close, "The state of you two," and she said, "Both of you minging." That's what she said out of nowhere. She said, "Where'd you get that skirt? Where'd you get that skirt, love? Kingdom of fucking leather." Oh, brilliant. I'll take that.
Oh, he's massive. He's a big lump.
Yeah.
Die. He's strong actually mind. Big, though, anyway. Yeah, strong.
He was always big.
Yeah.
He was always like the shoulders like a wardrobe.
Really good news, though. He's coming back.
Yeah, it says interim, I read.
Yeah, it'd be interim. But I think, you know, at the end of the season, they'll roost Jan, and they should. He's the best director of rugby the Blues have had since Dai Young.
Yes.
So
who's
got experience now on the other side of the bridge with Wasps and done a decent job with Wasps. They haven't won anything, but they should have won the Premiership final against Exeter.
Yeah, and bear in mind the transition they underwent while he was there to a different city, like serious stuff.
And the biggest thing is, how much money is he going to have, basically? What is his budget to go and sign players? Because they do need to sign some players.
What positions do they need, roughly?
I think they need more strength, front row. Second row. Back row's okay.
Yep.
Especially when you look at Ellis Jenkins and Josh Navid.
A lot of back rows around, mind.
Yeah. I think also centres. They've got... Their two best centres, really, are Willis Halaholo and Ray Lilo. Ray Lilo's 33 now. Still doing well, but...
He's class.
At some stage, they're going to need...
You also need cover. More than two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think wingers are all right. Maybe a... I think that's it, really, mate.
It's easy to play on the wing, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Must be cold at the moment, though.
Yeah, it can't be difficult, though, can it? As long as you're quick.
Breathing.
Okay.
So that's good news.
What are they like at halfback?
Okay, Lloyd Williams, Tomos Williams. I think they've signed, or they're going to sign, Rhys Priestland.
Back from Bath.
Yeah, from Bath. He won't be first choice. Jared Evans will be first
choice. Jared Evans is class, mate.
Mate.
Yeah, but Rhys Priestland will kick you a ton of points and... Actually, he'll boot you out of trouble. Like he's got that whatever size his right shoe is, it's a good one.
But Jared Evans could be involved heavily with Wales this year, next year. You know, so you
I love watching Jared Evans play, mate.
Mate, the breaks he made at the weekend were brilliant.
Yeah, he's class. I'd hate to play against him.
Yeah, and I know he has his deficiencies. I know he's not.
What's his goal kicking like?
It's low percentage, and it's not a big boot either. It's like a 9-9. It's okay.
Yeah,
but goal kicking sort of, you know, one day you can be on fire, the other day you can. Be 60%. You just need that top 80s, 90% internationally.
Yeah, but you do need your 10 at pro level to be, well, your goal kicker, not your 10.
He's a decent goal kicker, but I think if you were to play him internationally, Six Nations, World Cup,
someone else would have to kick.
I think so, which means Lee Halfpenny would have to play.
Which means Liam Williams. Oh, yeah, Liam Williams will play on the wing. Yeah.
But... You've got to build a team around him at the Blues, I reckon. He's that good.
I honestly think, especially these days with defence being what it is and Jackals being what they are and that kind of stuff, and there's more at stake, you know, season on season, I honestly think it takes real courage for a director of rugby to build a team around exciting players who are hard to play against rather than dependable players who just tick boxes. I think it's a brave decision.
He's not a selfish player either. He makes a lot of breaks. But he brings... I always reckon a good sign of a 10 is someone that brings centres and wingers into the game, so you see the best of them.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if you're a 12 or a 13, you have a good game, mostly it's because the 10's giving you a good ball, or a winger.
Yeah.
Or a 15, you know, you get put into space, you get put in the right situation. So, he's really good. Gareth Anscombe back running, which is brilliant as well.
Yeah.
Because he was Wales' number one.
Just remind me, I had a dream about Gareth Anscombe 2 nights ago.
All right. Him and his wife, or just him?
No, we're at barbecue.
Okay.
It's really weird. Before we get back onto the Blues, I had a dream.
We're done on the Blues now.
All right, I had a dream about Gareth Anscombe, and I was at a barbecue with Ollie Cohn, Gareth Anscombe, Joe Marler, and I think you might have been there.
All right.
And I've had this dream.
To be kind.
No, because it was either you or Alfie.
Rory Bremner, the impressions?
No, you might have been there, I can't remember. Anyway, so But about a year ago, I had this really vivid dream. And no one remembers dreams, do they? And
only the good ones.
Only good, yeah. But I had this really vivid dream, and I don't normally text like current players and stuff because we're not mates. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I texted Joe Marler and I said, it's a really weird dream last night where we were listening to this song at a barbecue with Ollie Cohn again. I dream a lot about Ollie Cohn and because he cooks nice meat. And we were listening to this song and I've never heard this song before in my life. I woke up with it in my mind.
Yeah.
And went on Spotify, downloaded it. Uh-huh. No, I didn't write it down. I was like, Spotify, what is that song? Really bizarre. I've never heard of the guy. Still couldn't tell you what it's called. And I said, this is weird. Had this dream last night. And Joe Marler said, I'll tell you what's weird. That was the first dance song at my wedding. Ooh. That is weird.
Ooh, yeah.
True story, boy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you something rhythm. It's I forget. Anyway.
He's a dancer?
Yes. No, the rhythm's going to get you. Gloria Estefan. Gloria Estefan was right. The rhythm is going to get you. Oh, but I think these days, it takes cojones to build a team around high-risk individuals. It does.
Yeah. Look, he's not high-risk, but I think...
Well, compared with... You know, if they bring a points machine like Priestland in, compared with that, he's probably not as reliable, I'm guessing. If you're saying his percentages aren't great.
I think kicking off the tee, yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially. But someday, you know, he kicked really well at the weekend. So, anyway, it looks like Thomas Francis has signed for the Ospreys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I've missed that, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
It's been a nightmare, mate, through festive derbies. Right, the first weekend of the festival, I was Boxing Day. The weather was horrific.
Your feet cold?
So cold.
Oh, fella.
But the games were really ordinary, really bad. Mm. You know, you're talking like, I think the Dragons had something like 16, 17 penalties they gave away.
Yeah, I watched the highlights and the highlights were lowlights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Turnbull scored a try. That was it. Not much better at the Scarlets. And I'm just thinking, this is it. Rugby's not going to get any better than this. But last weekend was good for Welsh rugby. But the amount of times the Welsh regions are kicking is way more. It's like double the amount, say, the Irish provinces are. And we got to compare ourselves to the Irish provinces in the Pro 14 because they're the ones, you know, yeah. Ulster were unbeaten until they played Leinster recently. So Leinster and Ulster both, I think, lost one. Munster maybe the same. But we're kicking it double the amount of times. We're scoring way less tries. Like in round 10, I think it was, the Welsh region scored four tries out of four games. Or two games even, because they're playing against each other. And the Irish provinces scored 11. And a lot of the tries were pushovers, line-outs, chuck your backs in, last gasp, really.
Yep.
But anyway,
then Bath played Wasps and rugby was saved.
Yes, it was. I love that game.
I loved it.
And I know
Eddie Jones said it was terrible.
Yeah. And Hugo on comms said, I don't know, you know, if Bath supporters are going to be enjoy watching this. Of course they're not. If your team's losing, they're not going to be enjoying it. But more neutrals are watching that than Bath supporters. And I thought it was brilliant. Like, you're going to get mistakes, but that's how tries happen. That's how turnover ball happens. You know, drop passes, teams capitalise on it. I thought it was brilliant. And if you want people and kids to get involved in rugby, it's got to be exciting. It's an entertainment sport. And it was by far probably the most entertaining game I watched for a while.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Mm. I thought it was great to watch. It was like, this has got to end at some point, not the final whistle, but this attacking intent, these clean breaks, all these points.
Yeah.
It's got to stop at some point because these are pros and they realise they're risking everything and defences will tighten up or something.
Yep.
Oh, but Paolo and Dogwu, wow.
Yeah. Sometimes you get games like that where you don't mean it to be loose, but it just is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get a turnover ball, there's just space, so you just run it. But yeah, you're right, Paolo Dogwu.
Dogwu was really good at 13. I was really good at 13 a couple of weeks ago. Watched him live up at the Rico and he was really, really, really hard to deal with.
Yep.
And defensively, he's aggressive. He's got loads of pace and he's strong. So actually defensively, if he is slightly out of position, he gets himself back in and he defended really well. But I just wonder if 13 might end up being a really good position for him because he'll be less exposed to the high ball where he doesn't look very comfortable.
Distribution, though. You've still got to be a distributor at 13, so you've got to be able to pass. I mean, he's great strike runner.
But look at Slade, I guess. Yeah, great distributor.
Yeah. But you look at, like, a dog. He's space, one-on-one, really good.
Brutal.
Yeah, like, but a proper strike runner.
The hammy's on in mind.
But, you know, if you have to, when you've got a 13 like that, you have to hide him a little bit in attack, you know, so... For instance, if you need to throw a pass to over the 15 to the winger. You know, he's not the right man to do it.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, so you have to be careful and you have to sort of tailor your moves around him a little bit. But if you want to give an early pass to a Dogwood at 13 and say, just have a go, mate.
Yeah.
He's going to be brilliant Lovely. At that.
And if I he's think, on the wing, you can put him at 13.
I think he's probably more of a natural winger than 13.
Okay.
But you see Underhill trying to tackle him.
Yep.
Like, how powerful.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, not many people run through an arm of Underhill's, do they?
No, it was a soft shoulder tackle, but, you know, if that's someone else.
There's also a tiny little hitch kick from him. He doesn't stop and go, but he just accelerates and boom.
Yeah.
And I think that catches Underhill a little bit.
That's McConaughey, for instance. I know he's on the same team, but just as a comparison, he's getting tackled. But because there's a Dogwood, because he's low, he's thick set.
And when a Dogwood turned and tackled McConaughey towards the end when the Bath broke, that was class as well, because a lot of lads who are that good going forward don't feel the need to be that good going backwards, do they?
No. While I'm thinking of it, mate, I tell you one player is doing pretty well from Northampton, is now at the Ospreys, is Stephen Myler.
Oh, how's he going?
Points machine, mate.
Oi, good looking fella, Myler. Good looking boy.
Facilitator, mate.
Yeah.
Does what he needs to do at 10, puts people into space. He's not going to be making loads of breaks. He's not going to be finishing off tries, but he just is a great link between the forwards and the
backs. Does the right stuff at the right times a lot. Do you know what I like about him as well is that I went on tour with him and we'd be in bars having, you know, drinks because we're absolute bloody lads.
Yeah,
and we get absolutely flipping sloshed. And like
four women, more Smirnoff Ice, please, barman.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 buds. And women were there and they're double taking at him and looking at him the whole time. They're like, wow, he is amazing looking, especially with like a black eye from a game or something. And the thing I love about him the most, he didn't even notice.
I'm like that sometimes.
So I didn't tell him. I didn't want to get a big head, but he didn't even notice. Yeah, and he's a nice man. And that's not the most important thing, but it also helps.
Yeah.
He's a good fella. A good tourist.
What other things have stood out for you? Nigel Owens, do you see that? Forgot his cards, one of the games.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
left and someone cards. Brought him a card on, didn't they, or something? Yeah.
Can't remember who got yellow carded.
Well, he's getting old, isn't he? He's getting old, Nigel. You know, he's 53 now, and he's 72 now, and, you know, as he approaches 80, he's going to start forgetting things.
He's more interested in his cows now and his farm.
Yeah, still a great ref.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that. And did you see the Claremont player pick up the referee above his head? I mean, apart from anything else, that's a fully grown man he's lifted up above his head, like Lion King.
Just how excited he was.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of strength, that, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, of course you can't. Do
it. It's like, no wonder we got a red card for it.
So what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts? Is he going to get a ban for that?
Yeah, I think he should give a ban. You've got to set an example. You can't touch the ref, mate. As long as, you know, it was in a jovial moment. You know, the game was won. They were super excited. But you can't lift up a ref.
No.
Even if you know him.
If somebody, right, I'll be completely honest now. If somebody had de-bagged Barnsley, a player had de-bagged him and pulled his shorts down during a game on telly, I would be sitting here now saying you cannot do that. He needs to be suspended. He needs to be banned for that to teach, you know, to act as an example. But privately, I'd be thinking, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm going to checks in the post, fella.
It was funny, but it's like Andy Powell driving a golf buggy down the M4. Like, I didn't think that's funny, but you still need...
I didn't think it was that funny. I thought it was weird. It's like, it's a weird reaction, that, mate.
But you watch... I don't know who it is. Do you know the name?
No.
Right, but see how excited he is, jumping around like a little kid waiting for the whistle.
Good little mover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, red card, but it was... I did smile a little bit.
Did you hear Kyle Sinclair swear at Carl Dixon the other day?
Yeah.
Right, I mean, and Brian Moore's written an article on it, and I criminally haven't read it yet. He wrote it, brought it out yesterday, so I'll read that when I get home today. But Brian Moore's written it, and I'm interested to hear his take on it. But it's one of those things, people go mad about this stuff, and that's fine, because you go mad about whatever you want. Carl Sinclair apologised, he knows he shouldn't have done it. There's this, and I'm not apologising for it at all. I think, you know, you should, because the thing is, I mean, if your kids are sitting on the sofa and they see one, you can't do it.
You can't chat to refs like that, mate.
Equally, we're hearing loads more of the players chat now because there's no crowds,
yep.
No crowd noise. There's a bit of that. So these aren't excuses, it's just we are hearing more of it, so it's quite interesting. But I think he'll probably get into a bit of trouble for that because they can't not. But it does feel a bit like, aside from the offence, right, aside from doing it, it's a bit odd where they played in the same squad at Quinn's. They know each other. So did they get on, all that kind of stuff. Were they pals? I mean, I don't think that would affect Carl Dixon's refereeing whatsoever, but I do wonder if it would affect how the players view him.
Yes, I think it would, especially if you've been in that squad environment together and you've pre-season tours, room together, all of this.
You're
sort
bonded,
of stuff.
Aren't you? Yeah,
you are. So,
you or know, you might not like each other that much.
Maybe. But it's obviously he's obviously said it because he knows the guy. I think you know. I don't think Carl Singer would say that to any other ref.
That's what I'm getting at. Would he have shouted like that at Barnsley?
I don't think so. I think he would have shouted it at him because they were mates. They were teammates.
Yeah.
And you could sort of, you think you'd probably get away with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he didn't say it in a fun way. He said it in an aggressive way.
Yeah.
So
what I would say is when I saw the tackle come in, I was like, holy moly, that is so dangerous.
Yeah.
And so many of these tackles now make me wince, not just because they're aggressive impacts, because I think how are people not dislocating their kneecaps and shoulders?
I haven't seen it slow down because it was Luke Houndicky, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, and he is very good at that. But this one was particularly like, whoa, that's a dangerous. Sort of, he's a massive unit steaming at someone's shins.
I think if Carl Singler said that with a bit of a smile on his face, then you could get away with it. But he was super aggressive.
But my point is,
he wouldn't calm down after it.
I think he's been hit like that, and he's thinking that could have been my knee dislocated there, and he's angry. So these aren't excuses. Yeah. I think that's the reason why he's so pumped.
But you still can't speak to refs like that. Otherwise, it becomes football.
Yeah,
and then we're doomed.
But it's a slippery slope, and football. We've said this before in this pod. I expect football wasn't gentlemanly, whatever that means. It wasn't polite. And then overnight turned into a sport where they abuse the refs. It starts with, come on, ref.
Yeah.
You know, rewind, look at rugby from, you know, our dad's generations. And every decision is met with the player turning around and walking back.
Yeah.
There's never any protest. And now look at guys, you know, I love watching Dan Bigger play. If I owned a rugby team, Dan Bigger would be one of the guys I wanted to sign. He's brilliant. But you watch him play and you watch him protest to refs. And even Big Lowell back in the day would offer a, you know, I remember my dad saying he does like to offer a sermon on every decision. And it's like, yeah, but he's Big Lowell. He can do what he wants. But then, when I got penalised for scrummaging offences, whether the ref was right or wrong, I would say things to the ref. And I remember going into, whose changing room was it? Anyway, the ref's changing room up at Leeds.
Yeah.
To Pearson, I think his name was the referee. And I just went in and said, I'm really sorry, mate. I didn't swear at him or anything. But I was like, every time you penalised me, mate, I got annoyed and I shouldn't have done that. And he goes, yeah, and you know I was right. I said, I think you probably weren't, actually.
Yeah.
But shouldn't do that, mate. And we had quite a good laugh about it. And then I never did it again to him because he would have probably sent me off.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, we've all done it, but it is a slippery slope. And if you don't stamp it out, fast forward 10 years and it's footy, isn't it?
Yeah. So Dan Bigger's in your world 15, is he at 10?
No, I'm saying if I was... a DOR at a lot of Premiership rugby clubs.
Yeah.
I'd have him. I'd love to have him in my squad. I'm sure he costs a lot of money. But I wouldn't pick him over Joe Simmons or Marcus Smith. I suppose Ford.
Farrell.
Farrell's not in the Premiership.
Correct. When is he going to play next?
That's three clubs. And I guess there'll be a couple of those with lovely fly-offs. But do you see what I mean? Like he would be in six or eight of your Premiership teams at 10, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I've heard him described as the most competitive player anyone's ever trained with and all that sort of stuff. And everyone loves him and says he's the best guy ever. So I think you'd have him, but you'd say, could you stop shouting at the refs, please, Dan?
Can you stop appealing everything?
My mum don't like it. My mum and dad love Dan Bigger, right? They talk about him all the time. They don't know that many rugby players. My mum doesn't. They love Dan Bigger because he kicks the ball and catches it. He does both.
He's very good at that.
Right, and they love that, but they don't like him shouting at the refs.
No.
So I'll have when I see him, I'll tell him, mum don't like it.
Just give him a little...
I'll say Bigsy. What's everyone call him? Bigsy? What do they call him?
Big. Mr. Big.
Come here, boy. Come here, fella. Mr. Big, yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we've got a couple of weeks off now, haven't we?
Yeah, well, I think it might be 1 week off for me. I think they're trying to arrange the Pro 14 fixtures to be... I think there'll be no games this weekend. I think it's too late to rearrange fixtures.
But get the caterers in.
Yeah, I think it'll be a week off, feet up, and then the following week there'll be games. But don't know.
Lucky you.
Don't know. Don't know, mate. I mean, what's happening with the Six Nations? I've just
seen
CVC have just invested... Or there's a press release just come out about a load of money that's been accessible by Six Nations now, which should help a bit. It's Six Nations handed a lifeline of $365 million by CVC Capital as rugby tournament sells 14.5% of commercial rights with a five-year deal to be confirmed later this month. I mean, right. I wish I'd read that before I even started it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have just done an ad.
I wish you had, yeah.
So
edit it, make yourself sound clever.
That's I can't be bothered, mate. That's promising news, but is the Six Nations going to go ahead? If it goes ahead as it stands, there'd be no crowds. I mean, we're talking, what, like 3 weeks?
15 minutes it starts.
Until the first game, so...
I don't see... But then France, the French team, are saying they don't want to play in Europe.
They've announced a squad.
But they've announced a squad for the Six Nations.
Yeah. Hypocrite alert.
Hypocrite warning. Guilty. Yeah, a bit of an odd one, that. I mean, who knows, boy? And... It's frustrating for everybody.
I think it's a lot of it. Literally, depending on the Lions. If the Lions sort of come out and say, well, like, the tour's not going ahead, they can move the Six Nations to later on in the year.
Yeah.
Where there potentially could be crowds. But who's to say in April we're going to be allowed crowds back?
Now, I will go and watch the Lions wherever, right? Yep. And I will love it wherever they play. I do believe that unless they can market a Lions tour to Europe, for example, where there's freedom of movement, to coin a contemporary expression, with freedom of movement for the squads, can they can go and play in Dublin, Paris, you know, Cardiff, London, whatever. They can do that and they can sell out the stadia and almost all the money goes to the South African Rugby Union. That's an idea I like, but I think I prefer the idea of the tour being at South Africa, even if it's not back a year.
I think you just lose a bit of the magic if you start tinkering with it. And I know there'll be people saying, well, look, I just want to see games. I just want to see the Lions games. But the Lions are special. And part of that special thing is touring the other country. It's playing in the other countries, playing in their backyard, so to speak. So I'm not sure I'm for a Lions test series in the UK.
No, I mean, I'll go and I'll support the Lions, but I think it's been South African.
And I think it should be in South Africa and they should try and rearrange the season next year if it is the case. Now, I know not a lot of unions would allow it next year because it's a year out from the World Cup. But, you know, can we look to play it in January next year? Can the season be rearranged for the Lions?
Also, there are some people saying you can't play a line. Say they put it, just delay it by a year and play it next summer. Yes, other tours are affected, but frankly, so what? I've been on an England tour when the Lions was going at the same time. It's brilliant. And there's a bit of chat around, well, you can't play a Lions tour one summer and then play a World Cup the next year. It's like, no, there's over a year between them. That is enough time to recover. Come on.
It's just the injuries you get from World Cups, from Lions series.
Yeah, it's
intense.
There's a bit of management to be done after the tour.
Players always come back absolutely bollocks from it in terms of like fatigue, injuries. It takes some players a lot of time to get over them. I suppose that's the biggest issue. There's always big injuries.
Remember after the last Lions tour, everyone was like, Maratoji's tired. He's not going to. He needs to rest. He plays too much rugby. And he was like, man of the match.
Yeah, he's young though, isn't he? You know,
yeah, exactly. When I was young, I was just like Maro.
Played four games a week.
Yeah.
So a lot of unknown. I think we'll find out now in the next couple of months.
Hopefully.
We've
got our big Flats and Shanks travel tour going out there with lots of people booked up and all that. And I'm quite glad we partnered with the British and Irish Lions on that because it makes the refunds a lot easier.
What about playing the series in Dubai?
Bit hot for me, boy.
I think like from social media, Dubai is the only place that looks like people are still partying.
You've seen Jason Leonard out there. He was too hot. I'd be too hot. I'd be hotter than Jace.
Nah, not around December time, mate. It's about 26 degrees. It's nice to play sevens there.
Never been to Dubai.
Have you not?
Nope.
No, well, you're down Devon, aren't you? It's your sort of holiday.
Yeah, you call it the middle class holiday, but actually it's just way cheaper.
I think you're too good to go to Dubai.
No, just 2 months in Devon cost the same as a week in Dubai.
All your rich lawyer friends. Hedge funders all down in Devon.
I don't think I've got a hedge fund friend. Or a lawyer friend. I think I've got one.
Your boat shoes on, your jumpers around your shoulders.
Yeah, they do that.
Drinking guest ale.
Guest ale? What's that?
Whatever they got on the pumps.
Oh, Session IPA. Is that what they call it or something?
Bombardier.
No, drinking rosé on the beach, boy. Come on.
Yeah, lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... what other news is out, mate? How was Christmas, actually?
Christmas was good.
How'd you cook your turkey?
How do you like your turkey in the morning? I did a Jamie Oliver rolled turkey thighs with apricot and almond stuffing. Yep.
Oh, well done.
So I ordered, got me mate. Oh, God, I still haven't paid for them. Oh, God, he keeps calling me. I must pay for them. Got me mate, he's a butcher in Bath. And I said, can I have, there are going to be, I don't know how many of us are going to be, so give me 8 turkey thighs, because I watched Jamie Oliver and they weren't that big. They were like big sausages.
Yeah.
And you roll them and you cook them for an hour, whatever, and then you slice them and they're real nice, like, you know. And I got there to the butcher's and he was like, yeah, they're a bit bigger than I think you might think, mate. And, you know, I did 2 on Christmas Day. They were massive.
Really?
I've still got 5. He gave me 7. I got 5 in the freezer. But they were really, really nice. I did the old get ahead gravy.
Yeah, I did that.
You know, the
Jamie
old
Oliver.
Duck fat spuds.
Do duck fat.
Honey carrots for the kids.
They
like
butter.
Those.
Olive oil, rosemary.
Oh, okay.
And garlic,
okay. Okay.
Yeah. I don't like Christmas spices, I've worked out. Like, I don't like Christmas cake.
Oh, Christmas pudding?
No. Well, same thing, basically. Mince pies, cloves.
That's a shame.
I hate cloves. Oh, if I get a clove and a rice or a ham, I'm like that. Ugh.
Oh, boy.
Horrific. Mushrooms don't like, don't trust them.
Where they're moving, isn't
it? Yeah. Texture in your mouth. But that's about it. Olives. I try and eat olives, and I just can't.
When you go on a holiday, do you find an Irish bar and eat fish and chips? Do you watch Only Fools and Horses every day on holiday?
Are you doing a Sunday roast today? Brilliant. I'm in.
Yeah. CC, senor.
What's it called? Lamb of
Christmas was good. How was yours?
Yeah. Fine.
You know.
Didn't do anything, really.
Kids loved it.
I'll tell you what we watched as a family on New Year's Eve, which kids loved, which your kids will like as well, was Dirty Dancing.
Oh, I started watching it. I caught the end of it.
Get your kids
they did
watch
like
it,
yeah. I've got a new favourite Christmas movie, by the way.
What?
The Grinch, animated.
Yeah. Oh, animated.
Oh, it's so good. Oh. It's so good.
We have watched...
Peanut thinks she's too cool for it now because she's 11, but
we've
watched
the 3 Austin Powers recently.
Oh, yeah?
It's good, kids like that. It's 12, so you...
Ooh.
Fast forward some of the stuff.
I don't let my 8-year-old watch 12, not like you.
She's 9. And it's 12A, so 12 with an adult. So,
like Matt Powell shows his 10-year-old, they watch Basic Instinct and all sorts.
Bad Taste. Remember that
Terminator
Bad
2?
Taste? The guy just with his finger up at the front. What did you see at the video shop?
Yeah. Powell shows Boys in the Hood to his kids.
So we watched that. I'll tell you what I have watched recently. I watched a couple of things. One was on Sky Atlantic, Raised by Wolves.
Sci-fi. You put it on to me. And because it's sci-fi, I haven't started it yet because I think I'm not going to like it.
Yeah. Now, who was the director I said that did it? Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's different.
Yep.
I quite liked it.
Yep.
Quite liked it. It's intriguing. It's okay.
Fine.
It's not horrific, but if you're struggling for something to watch,
okay,
get it on. The Serpent, I've just started.
Mum, I'm four into The Serpent.
He's the serpent who guards the gates of hell.
It is, it's quite an unnerving...
Yes.
Bit of telly, that.
Yeah, it is slightly.
Imagine Barnsley. I'm not very sensitive.
Imagine Barnsley to be like the serpent, that guy who's selling gems.
Yeah.
I don't, Wayne, all right?
Stick him in a sauna, he still doesn't sweat. Hang on a minute.
The Pembrokeshire Murders was on last night. It's a true story.
Oh, so and someone said on Twitter about that, do police actually talk like this, like in perfectly timed rhythms and sentences or something like that? So, but someone said it was a bit fake.
It was meant to be good.
Okay.
The Ripper is good. Have you watched The Ripper yet on Netflix?
Yep.
Good. Well done.
Well, I can't remember it. Yeah, watched it. Yeah, very good. Watched The 12. I think I might have said that last time. DNA I've started watching as well.
Okay.
Serpent. And Spiral, series 8 I watched. Very, very good. The final series, Spiral, was really... Have you ever watched Spiral?
Nope.
Lucky you. French cop drama.
Okay.
There are 8 series, all on, I think it's iPlayer or Netflix. I think it's iPlayer. You get to start from the beginning. Lucky old you.
Suburba, Blood on Rome. You seen that yet?
Spiral, no.
It's good.
Once you've seen Gomorrah, what's the point? New series in filming, by the way.
Gomorrah?
Yep. Oh. Someone tweeted me. Also...
Have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Oh, genius. It is so brilliant, you know, I can't believe it.
Well, you wouldn't know that. They're son and father in real life.
I didn't know, and I Googled it, and they were. I thought they might...
they're like both producer as well.
Yeah, so I just saw the names at the end. I thought maybe they're related now. Amazing.
Yeah.
Or both of the she's.
Yeah, why are you mouthing she's fit?
I didn't, and you know I didn't.
I watched one the other day when they're at a funeral, and he has to get up and speak at the funeral of one of the... Bob, who's died, who doesn't even know.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, Danny Boy. She gets up and starts. It's brilliant. You have to watch it. Schitt's Creek. I think there's quite a few series of it, but it's phenomenal. Basically, the main character in it is Jim's dad from American Pie.
Yeah.
Eugene Levy.
It's so, so good. It's so clever. I mean, every character is amazing. The mum is just... Moira is just amazing. Like,
they're all good, mate.
Alexis, oh my God.
Yeah.
And the clothes she wears.
I know.
The clothes they all wear. The wardrobe is almost the best bit of it.
I think Daniel's my favourite.
Daniel.
Is it called Daniel?
David.
David.
David. Yeah. David. David. No, David. Oh, she is brilliant.
Yeah. So, light comedy. They're about 20 minutes each. It's become like a film review or a series review, this podcast.
Yeah. Get into Spiral if I were you.
Because there's been so many games that I just can't remember.
Do you know why subtitled programmes are good? Because they force you to put your phone down.
Yeah. 100%. I put my phone on silent anyway.
You're good at night, aren't you?
Yeah. Do you notice the microphone I'm using today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I outfitted you, haven't I?
You have. I've got a standard foam cover on mine with an 80s Marlboro Go Faster stripe around it, and you've got a Guinness foam cover.
Whatever.
Oh, when did you get that? Oh, when you did...
It's a Willy Warmer.
When you did your when you did your video at home.
Yeah.
Were you at home for that?
Bubs's house.
Bubs's house.
Couldn't do it at my house.
Why?
COVID. Lockdown, kids,
yeah.
Got a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Just doesn't work.
Whirlwind.
It doesn't work.
No.
Well, that's a really nice microphone topper.
Yeah. So, well done. Anyway, no rugby coming up this week, so maybe we'll do a podcast. Maybe do a short one. I tell you what you can do, people, is give us a review. We've been around for ages. Give us 5 stars or 4. I'll accept 4 because nothing is perfect.
And yeah, 4's fine. I'm fine with 4.
There's always room for improvement. You said to me
that... 3's an insult.
Yeah. You said to me that... I asked if you wanted food today. We're going to do some ITV filming today, basically. We're doing some commentary, which is going to be on the Hub.
Some ITV shorts, yeah.
Of 10 classic Six Nations games.
Are we doing the whole game?
No, 5 minutes. And you said to me, you don't want any food because you're massive. But you're not. You don't look that big. I was expecting, you know, Rick Waller turn up.
Oh, mate, I've done a couple of, I know you're going to laugh like you did last time, I've done a couple of online boot camps.
I don't laugh at that stuff anymore,
with
mate.
So Fit in Bath, Ollie Hayes is
Craig
basically
Hawkins.
A mate of mine. And I did these things with Hazy, and he's like, I've got this heart rate monitor. You put a heart rate monitor on, I never bother with that stuff. And it's like, yeah, if you're in the red zone, back off a bit. You don't need to be in the red zone. And I'm like, you're in the red zone, back off, flats. I'm back off, go slower. I'm like, mate, I couldn't go a lot slower. I'm out of breath, but I'm not struggling. He goes, mate, you're in the red zone, back off. All you need to do is burn
heart
a bit of fat.
Central.
Yeah, well, he's not worried about my heart exploding. He's just like, you're working too hard.
What was your heart rate at?
I don't know, but it said 96% on my screen.
Okay. So, well, find out what it is. I train, I maximum I get it is nearly, it's probably like late 160s, but that's not that often.
Oh, I go way higher than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When we were playing, I remember being at Sarri's years and years ago, and Matt Powell, we were told, Yatesy, the old fitness guy, Mike Yates, Yatesy said, right, you've got to get your heart rate to 180 plus and keep it there for 90 seconds, back off, step back on, get it to 180. Once it's past 180, time 90 seconds, whatever it was. And for me, it was like, right, I've been on the treadmill 3 minutes and it's at 195 or something. Powell could not get his heart rate to 180, couldn't get it there.
Yeah.
And then when I did the John O'Groats to Land's End on the bike, Danny Grucock and I went to have this, our bikes professionally set up by...
Piss off and leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah. We went to have our bikes set up properly and fitted to our bikes and by Rebecca Romero, the Olympian and whatever. It's really, really cool. And she puts heart rate monitors on us and stuff. And I was obviously in terrible nick at that point. Done anything for 2 years since I retired, like nothing except eat and sit. And she was like, yeah, we'll do this heart rate threshold thing or whatever. Yeah. It's lactic threshold,
VO2
lactate
max.
Threshold. No, it's a threshold thing where they prick the blood on your thumb or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And Gruy was like,
food intolerances.
Gruy was like, she was like, oh my God, like he just keeps going and going and going. And he's at level, she's like, if you guys get past level 5, I'll be really impressed, whatever it was. And he's on level 7. Level 8, she pulls him out. She's like, that is really good. And I'm on like level 3. And she's like, right, you probably better stop. I said, why? Because your heart rate is so high. You're basically done. I said, I feel fine.
Yeah.
And in the end, I got to level 7. And she's like, your heart rate is like through the roof. So we waited and waited an hour or two before we left. And she tested my heart. She said, you've just got, my resting heart rate is fine. But when I exercise, I've just got a really high heart rate.
Climb stairs.
Yeah.
Or walk.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know, but my heart rate, anyway, this is so dull, I'm going to fall asleep in a minute.
Yeah, what I was going to say was, next time you get your heart rate that high, can you quickly turn on your phone and send a video, put it on Twitter?
No.
Please.
Who does that? No. No. No, I won't do that. I mean, it doesn't take me a lot to get to that point, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I mean, I've...
You're not bad shape, mate. You're not bad. I was expecting the worst, but I always expect the worst and I'm not disappointed.
I'm 20 stone 8.
28 stone?
Yes, 20 stone 8. That's a lot.
That's okay.
130 kegs, boy. It's a lot.
What's your fighting weight? What do you want to get down to next year for wedding or 16 stone?
What wedding?
Stag do.
Stag do, yes. 16 stone is way too light for me.
Okay, yeah.
If I got to 18, when I got to 18 stone a couple of years ago, because although no one knew it, I was really ill because I was getting divorced and stuff and it was horrific.
Yeah.
I got to 18 stone and my mum rang me to tell me I looked ill and people kept telling me I looked poorly.
Yeah.
So I was like, in the end, my mum was like, have a sunbed, then at least you don't look poorly. I didn't, but.
You wouldn't look right my shape.
No.
At all.
I don't think I could get there.
No,
I honestly
you wouldn't
don't.
Look right. You know, your little. Trot hands, you know, just wouldn't look right.
No.
You know, you need a bit of fat on your fingers.
Yeah, I need a bit of chub. And also, like, thing is, what would happen is I'd get all the way down to 16 stone.
New wardrobe.
I'd have a skeletal body with giant calves.
Mate.
Because they won't ever shrink.
You'd have to take like 20 grand to hack it and get a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
The nightmare.
I have to go to Savile Row with 20 bags.
Right, let's end it here. We've got to do some filming for ITV.
Well done, everyone.
We're back, all right?
We're back and we are bad, literally bad, literally quite bad.
Review us and speak to you next week.
Okay, see you around.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.